the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the Batman.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Screw your mouth.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding
it's
me.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Bryan can capitalize here. He may beat the WWE Champion.
I'll show you. You'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
What the? AJ and a...
Naughty, naughty. Jump around like... Doctor won't give you a lollipop.
It is, isn't she? Is that a game match?
Sure, my puddin's a little temperamental, but gee, what relationship doesn't have its ups and downs?
She just went prancing around the ring. Kane is shocked. Shocked.
He's enthralled. Daniel. She's like a magnet to Kane.
Gee, what's wrong with them? I shouldn't have worn this outfit. So out of style, it's growing mold. I probably look like a total geek.
You gotta love crazy chicks.
Well, we know four out of the people on the panel tonight do.
Yes.
Crickets, damn it. All right. Obviously, this is not Nikki Haman. She had to take care of some business, i.e. her Uncle Paul getting knocked the F out on Monday by the evil doctor. Oh, boy. What have I got myself into? I don't know, but you are tuned into the North America Wrestling Connection, as presented by the wonderful folks of WrestleChat.net. I am Carl Chenier, and speaking over there is from Leesburg, New Jersey, Jim Williams. Good evening, sir.
So I read that... What is it that I've read? Oh, yes, that CM Punk got negative feedback from his interview on Jimmy Fallon. And there's only one reason for that, I guess. Too many of the same people who hail over Jimmy Fallon hail over John Cena, i.e. little 13-year-old girls.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God, Jimmy Fallon, he's so cute. Oh, my God, John Cena, oh, my God.
Not even he can make him funny at all. We'll sort of touch upon that later. We have Jim with us. We also have... a gentleman who had a very nice weekend, last weekend, and he went to do some more TNA viewing. From the great state of Texas, we have Typho.
Yes, Typho back live on tape for your listening pleasure. I've been to so many TNA events over the last, 2 weeks. I feel like I work for the company now. Me and the Atlas security guys are, good buddies now.
And on a personal, how you feeling, dude? I know you had something happen last week. During the week?
Probably. I had surgery on my foot.
Yes. And he did his show anyway. We applaud you for that.
No, I did my show the day I had all four of my wisdom teeth pulled. Can't slow me down.
Yow.
That's people power.
There you go.
It's commitment. And an iron will.
And going up to north of the border now, Trista Timpson, hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you, my dear?
Oh my God, believe it or not, I'm boiling.
Uh-oh.
Again, believe it or not, it actually got up to about 107 Fahrenheit.
Phew!
I was going to say, if it got up to 107 Celsius, you'd be dead.
Yeah, I had that talk with a friend earlier. I'm like, I think it was 114 with the humidity, and he's like, you'd be dead. But I wouldn't be dead, because I
and 106 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
Wow. Even the heat waves reached up to north of the border. Wow.
It's a lot of humidity, but at the same time, it's still really fucking hot, and I hate it.
Yeah, I think Jim's got more heat than we did down here. It was still horrible here. Ugh.
Yeah. Luckily, we got some storms here this evening that broke, but that's okay.
We've had no rain all this week. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's see if the heat wave hit the Midwest. Tennessee, La Follette's native son, Brian Henniger.
Hello, friends. And yes, the heat hit us. It hit us hard. It hit us long. It hit us very painfully, too. But we're here, and we're all doing good.
Yes.
And what did you do? Well, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. And what did you do to the heat when you saw it?
Well, I looked at it, thought over all my various options I had available to me, and then I decided to hit it with the folding chair.
And then he'll hit him again.
Well, I was going to, but unfortunately, hitting heat with a folding chair doesn't really make it go away.
Yeah. That kind of no-sells it.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Your Mother Nature no-sells like a you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
Like ice cream on a summer day, yeah.
It's like trying to wrangle Bad News Brown.
Mother Nature no-sells worse than the Road Warriors.
Yeah. Also joining us tonight in the chat portion, Jason Block, our legal analyst, and of course VRM, our Scott Steiner expert.
Although, Carl, and you'll probably get to this later on, we're hearing a rumor that we probably won't be having any more of him to kick around.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned in the next 20 minutes of this show, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to Scott Steiner, we have to get to No Way Out results and Pick'em results and all that fun stuff. Who watched it?
I did.
I actually did.
I did.
Overall, before we get into it, what do y'all think overall of the whole thing?
I thought it was a perfectly serviceable pay-per-view. I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. We got a really hot opener, and what we saw, in my opinion, was the beginning of Dolph Ziggler becoming a main eventer.
And what overdue, too. Mm-hmm.
That was the big thing I took out of the pay-per-view. Dolph Ziggler has it. The question is, does WWE give him the John Morrison treatment? Or do they give him the push he deserves? I'm hoping the latter.
He's too good of a seller. He's getting Morrison.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Only time will tell with that. Just don't drop the ball, WWE. You got something going here for once. Come on now.
He's here to show the world. He's here to show the world. Show it off. Yeah.
Big show.
And later, Marks.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The only downside with him being, you know, so highly, you know, up on the card, it ruins that dream match of Ziggler Ryder for WrestleMania 29 in the Internet Championship. It's just so heartbreaking. But anyway.
Oh, jeez.
That can headline the show.
What's that, Trista?
He could always demote himself.
True. Now, Mr. Henniger, who provided the results to me in a XLS file, which is Excel. Yes, for our opening contest on YouTube and all that, Clay versus Otunga, he put in an exclamation point and a question mark, Otunga? And of course, the people picking Otunga was myself, Jason, and Trista.
Now, you three, you all picked Otunga for one reason and one reason only. I know you don't have the soundboard handy, so I'll just say it.
I got some of it.
Baby oil? Oh!
Oh, that's very true.
Well, I just figured maybe this would be a chance for Otunga to climb up the ladder a little bit.
Yeah.
Jason, wrong. I think, thought the same way I did. But
I picked him for the baby.
Play one.
At least you're honest, Tristan. Yes.
Somebody did, in fact, call his mama.
Yeah, and then she went to school.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's been a long week, folks. Can't you tell?
Yeah, and it's going to get longer. Don't worry. Now.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to look forward to it.
We had that. We go to opening contest listed here on this file. I don't know if it was an opening contest. It was the Tuxedo match.
Oh, yes.
And I think we all, except one person, picked Ricardo. Oh, hi, VRM. That was an easy point right there, I think.
Winning!
Now, I think one of y'all did a wild card where Ricardo would wear some kind of shirt.
Oh, you know what? Don't make me leave again. Please don't.
Oh, don't worry. No. I ain't got that tonight. She That's took her Nikki. Ponies with her. Don't worry.
Yeah, Nikki, in her infinite wisdom, or lack thereof, thought that when stripped down to his nakiness, borderline nakiness, PG nakiness, that underneath the tuxedo shirt, Ricardo would wear a My Little Pony shirt.
Pony.
Give it! Pony!
It's funny because Jim Williams has a very severe mental disorder about ponies.
No, I don't!
Alberto Del Rio diaper, yes. A diaper with the face of Alberto Del Rio on it. That was classic.
Which is interesting because allegedly he's in the doghouse backstage. So maybe they're saying, hey, Golden Boy, you're full of
This is the 2012 version of Moppy, I guess.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
Yeah, only said it because he's finally turned his life around. And he's got his career sort of back on track. Anywho, point for everybody except, actually it was more than VRM, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, fourth picked him too, okay. So, alright, moving on. Oh god, Jim, what can you explain about the Divas title match?
It happened. That's all I can say, it happened.
That's pretty much how you can describe any Divas title match.
Yes.
It was there.
Karma, where are you now that we need you the most?
Training hard and losing weight. Yeah, there's reports that Layla looks completely awful. Would y'all agree with that?
Well, she's got that bad wheel. I'm convinced that knee's not 100% still.
You think? I didn't actually see the match, but yeah, it's just looking at different reports, it's damning to her, I guess.
Mm-hmm. She's not enough for me. Oh, no!
She needs a new theme. That's way too heely for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
She got one. She's got old Skirt Tiffany's theme now.
That's a terrible thing.
Can't get enough.
Oh, Lordy.
I don't know if that's an upgrade or not. But
it's not.
I don't think so, sir.
Parallel at best.
Hopefully, if they're going to just keep recycling themes for her, she'll get to Candace's techno theme next.
Which wasn't a bad one. And then Typho will never... Typho will be done. He'll be like, hello.
Okay, people winning points on that one was Typho, Tyler and Sidey, and of course Trista and Shane.
Right.
Winning. Won and retained the title in a bad match. So we go on to a semi-decent match. I caught a little bit of this after the fact. Mm-hmm. Christian versus Cody Rhodes for the IC title. Hey, VRM, what the hell were we thinking?
I don't know because I'm not sure where we are on this.
We both picked Cody Rhodes to regain the belt when it didn't happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Only smoke and mirrors.
Maybe we're thinking that Christian was going to maybe possibly get a run at the...
Well, heavyweight title?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not yet.
Making a little bit of history. Back-to-back weeks on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Then again, yeah, you know, he was just on TNA, so...
That's true. Christian did retain, so everyone got a point except me and VRM. There you go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the real main event of the evening, I think. Punk, Brian, Kane, WWE title match.
But John Cena is always the main event. He doesn't need any title. He's the main event all by himself.
Because he's Super Johnny Ace or Big Show. Cena!
Oh, Lordy.
You know, that reminds me of, guys, y'all ever see that movie, what is it, Commando, who was in it? Rain, work today. With Schwarzenegger, and that has that one guy where he goes, I don't need girl. I don't need no gun.
Morgan de Bogger.
All I can think of is, like that with the Cena saying, "I don't need no belt."
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So Punk retained, and I believe Kane was the one that got pinned, right?
Yep.
I picked that.
Yes, you did. Actually, most of y'all picked Kane getting pinned. Only people that didn't do that was Nikki and Jason. Jason actually took the bold prediction and had Daniel Bryan winning the whole damn thing, but no.
No.
maybe upcoming he'll get the belt, but not just yet. There's always SummerSlam.
Fast.
And the Iron Man.
Here we go again.
Is that going to happen? Like, is the rumor going that we're going to get an Iron Man match between these two?
Somebody's trying to start it, hint, hint.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. Points on Punk retaining, let's see, 1, 2, 3. 4 picked Brian, so did Jason. DJ, hi DJ if you're listening, and UVRM got zeros. All right. Now, we talked about Ziggler earlier, Jimbo.
Yes.
Well, title match. What would you categorize this one as? Like a coming out party, so to speak?
For
Ziggler?
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, a lot of us have seen in the last, especially, say, 6 to 8 months, just how much he can do in the ring. And it went to a grander scale, I think, at the pay-per-view this past weekend.
Yeah, it's like getting your feet wet, really. Well done with how you got perceived there, Ziggler. We'll see what you can do later on, I guess.
Yes.
People losing that was Josh, yourself, Jimbo, Jason. There's a theme here. If you hear him. And Shane. Some of the wild cards that got into play. Actually, none of the wild cards even worked. Let's see, yeah, Josh's one was Sheamus would get screwed by Del Rio, which didn't happen.
My wild card was close.
Let's see what. Oh! That AJ would get chokeslammed?
I mean, Kane knocked her off the apron. Chokeslam, knock off the apron. It's all the same thing.
Mm.
She landed on her back.
Yeah, actually, most of the wild cards was for the WWE title match, which didn't quite get helpful there. Well.
Damn,
my wild card will be right one night.
Yes,
that's why I'm just going to keep saying it. Karma's coming back. Karma's going to come back.
My original wild card was Ryback would destroy some jobbers, but then I just thought that'd be too easy. Something else. I should have stuck with it.
Speaking of which, did any of you guys happen to catch SmackDown tonight?
Pieces of it, yes.
No.
One of the guys who was part of the afternoon snack for Mr. Ryback is a very well-known independent wrestler named Sabian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually recognized him when I first was like, I know him, that's Sabian. And has the weirdest nickname. It's called he's called the Black G's.
I know Sabian. Did he hang out with
Ruckus? Yeah, they were part of the label, not the stable, Blackout.
Yep. They used to wrestle up here in Mississauga. I've seen them a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Yeah. They're cool guys. Cool. Smoking weed in the building and stuff. Getting all high before their matches.
That's approximating life as Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Any mention of Ruckus we have to throw in a mention of the Bling Ladder and WSX, keeping it gangster. Greatest tag team of all time.
So it was a real 420 night, gotcha. And then we had the death of People Power.
It isn't death. It will resurrect someday. I promise you, I will be invited back to be the guest general manager Monday Night Raw and SmackDown at some point in time.
Well, we had John to give us
you
a show.
Telling yourself that, Johnny there? Yeah.
I'm Big Johnny.
No, we were pretty split.
Hey, Johnny, if I give you a couple of cartons of Marlboros, will you shut up?
I prefer Newports. I hang with R-Truth.
Give him a couple lingerie catalogs and he'll be fine for a couple days.
Or the Bellas. Hey, they're not doing anything. What the hell?
That's a talent scout.
Jeez.
Anyway, we are all pretty split on this one here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the wild cards was McMahon would interfere to benefit show, which did not happen at all. That was given by yourself, Jim, and Sidey. Mm-hmm. One wild card had even Paul Heyman getting involved and he would get pedigreed. And at last, people power is that Johnny Ace got fired and then he got dropped for his trouble.
And he's also borrowing from Craig Sager's wardrobe, apparently.
Oh, no,
you didn't. Why you gotta mess with my boy Sags? He's a fashion icon. The blind.
Why you go with Don Cherry?
Aye, you hockey puck. You know, I like that Pat Roy. He's a good guy.
Pat Roy, he's a Frenchie. You know, gold.
All right, and finally, the points for that match went to Nikki, Josh, Typho, for Tyler, Jason, VRM, and Shane. And time to get the results here.
Drum roll, please. Recrap the scores here.
What's that?
Recrap those scores.
It's time to recrap the score. Oh, sorry. At the bottom of the barrel is our New York contingent of Jason and VRM with 3. Right above them is yourself and myself, Jim, with 4. And
oh,
jeez.
Oh, yeah.
With 5, fourth, and DJ. Three-way tie with 6 each. Nikki, Josh, and Trista.
Three-way dance. Three-way dance. Wait a minute.
Sidey and Shane got 7.
Oh.
And finally, with 8, two-way tie for the belt. Co-Fizzleweight Champions, Typho and Tyler. Congratulations.
Tie.
I guess you could say it was a tie.
Jeez.
And since I'm on I'm in title defense mode, co-title defense code now. Feed me more.
Feed me.
Feed me, Seymour.
Feed me 3.
Somebody feed me some pizza. I'm hungry. Now.
This is as long as is New York pizza, right, Jason?
Yeah. Oh, you went out here. Of course. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I had to throw that in there because I'm an a-hole. There you go.
This is true, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So am I.
See, the first step is admitting there's a problem, and then we move on from there.
I'd rather be an a-hole than be a brony. Thank you very much, folks. But yeah, especially with the way my life's going lately, I really feel like an a-hole. I really do. Sort of story for another time, but let's talk about some stuff happening concerning our favorite ham bone. And this really got the fire of our humble host.
Yes.
And I have it listed here. Is Michael Cole doing a 180 perhaps with his commentary on Big Johnny? Was all for him at No Way Out, but then all of a sudden after he got fired, turned on him. Character change or total bullshit is the quote I have here.
Well, you know what? It's total bullshit because, you know, it's not like Coal Miner has, become a face announcer or anything. He's just a scapegoat. That's part of the heel gimmick. He's a scapegoat. It's like, yeah, you know, I never liked him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's much ado about nothing to me. That's just it. So Cole still sucks, and he's still annoying, and he's still on our TVs, and it's still how much of the show can Nikki actually listen to? Yes.
Did anybody watch SmackDown tonight?
Decided that the computer might be coming back, and he can read emails again.
I was cold in. I was cold in.
Tolerable. You know, tolerable. Honestly, I don't pay attention to the commentary as much as I used to. But, you know, Booker is his usual over-the-top self. But, I mean, honestly, you know, to... I'm just sick and tired of the whole deal.
We get it. Cole is not in your fave five, y'all.
Trista, what do you think?
He's not in my fave 5,000.
What do I think of Michael Cole?
This could be good.
Oh, here we go. Disclaimer. I'm kidding.
No, that wasn't a setup. I was just making sure I had the right question. Honestly, if I watch Raw, I'm usually doing about 8,000 different things at the same time, like playing Angry Birds and knitting. So my attention is usually elsewhere other than Michael Cole, so I can't say he annoys me as much as he annoys other people. But then when I actually watch it, yeah. I wouldn't mind if he, you know, were to be slit across his throat.
I have to say, we should start a campaign. You've just inspired me, Trista. Yay. Terrence the Big Red Bird for the announce position that Cole has.
I agree. That would be way better.
He's silent, but deadly.
If the Eagles will let him up, then we'll see.
Oh, that's right. The Philadelphia Eagles, yes.
Eagles, yeah. At least they have a better team right now than White.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah.
Oh, before we go further, Carl, I want to help you out here. Typho, you've been busy, and we couldn't get you on last week.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk about your TNA experience with Slammiversary, and I know you went to a house show also.
Oh, here we go. Yes. Typho, you have the floor.
I did, yes. I believe, if I remember correctly, the last time I was on the show was the Friday before Slammiversary, and I had just gotten back from the first meet and greet, which I told you about. After that time, there was some other VIP meet and greet, stuff like that. 10th anniversary party, which was great, by the way. They just had the wrestlers who were there. They were just kind of all walking around. There were no lines or anything. You just kind of walked around, talked to them. I talked to Kid Cash for like 15 minutes, which was awesome. Everybody says the guy's a dick, but I don't think he was at all. At least not to me. But, and actually, I hate saying it, but through the 3 days that I did the VIP stuff, one of the people I saw the most and probably the nicest guy there was Garrett Bischoff. I mean, I can't say I'm a fan of his, but he's a good guy, nonetheless. I guess that's good for something. But, see, as for the event itself, Slammiversary, the pay-per-view, I was on the hard camera side in the second row. I probably was on camera from time to time, but I don't know for sure because the screen that they had, it kind of sometimes was showing what was going on. Sometimes it was just the Slammiversary logo, so you could never really tell exactly what was being seen. But I was pretty much dead center for the Austin Aries dive onto Samoa Joe. They pretty much came almost right back into my lap there. Which, by the way, that was a great opener, Joe and Austin Aries. The tag team title match, probably one of the best matches I've ever seen live. And basically, there was no match on the card that I would say was just bad or pointless or anything. I mean, say what you want about Hernandez and Kid Cash. No, there was no point at all for it being on the card. No, nobody knew about it being on the card until like Saturday night before the show. But everybody around here, we love Hernandez. I probably told the story before. I saw Hernandez for the first time in like 1998 in an old Home Depot building wrestling in front of about 30 people. He was hot stuff, Hernandez, back then. And he was the first guy that I saw live that I thought could be a star. It took longer than I expected, but he got there. He's in a pretty good spot. He actually got beat by Lance Hoyt to the stardom, but whatever. It happens. And as for see, probably some of my favorite moments of the night. Christian showing up. I knew he was going to be there, and I didn't know for sure that he would appear live, but I was glad that he did, even for a brief period. Sting being announced for the Hall of Fame. It was a fun moment that I was happy because the more they kept talking, the more I kept thinking it was going to be Hogan, which wouldn't have shocked me at all.
Of course.
I'd hope for Jeff Jarrett, too, because, I mean, it probably should have been him.
We all hope for Slapnuts, yes.
Don't piss me off.
I wonder how good that would go in Mexico.
Sting and Bobby Roode was. I mean, after what all they'd done that night, I really expected Sting actually probably to walk away with the title, but it didn't. But they still did the post-match beatdown to leave everybody happy. And I'm still unclear on exactly where they went off the air, but after they drop off the stage, Sting brings Roode back in the ring, puts him in the Scorpion Deathlock, and Roode taps out for about 5 minutes.
Tap out, son. Tap out.
You're going to tap.
I mean, from there, I ended up a couple days later in driving about 2.5 hours south to the great city of Belton, Texas, which if you've ever been there, and I hope you haven't, and I hope you never have to go. It's not somewhere I wanted to be, but it was one of those situations where I got off work really early that day. I didn't have anything to do. I knew where they were. It was easy to get there. I'm like, why not?
Is it like the land where time forgot, that kind of bad?
It's one of those places where if you want to come into the state of Texas and you want to see those stereotypes that are in your head, Belton, Texas is a great place to go because you'll find them.
Gotcha.
Tacos and burritos and plenty.
Oh.
Hi, Jerry DePew, if you're listening.
It's one of those places where basically the front row area when I got there, I mean, you had your cowboy hats. I saw a guy wearing chaps. Maybe he was just a Shawn Michaels fan. I don't know.
You never know.
I mean, you had any kind of redneck and hillbilly you want to find. They were in there somewhere.
All your
it's one of those things,
flavors.
Too, where you knew one of the heels was going to come out and start their, you're the biggest bunch of rednecks I've ever seen. But the problem with that, and I knew going in, I'm like, well, you're going to say that here, and it's just going to be true. I don't know how much heat you're going to get.
And then, of course, you have the risk of them pulling guns on you.
with that group, it wouldn't have been overly surprising. But that show, the house show, was actually a lot of fun because it was a small little venue. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how many people were there. I'd say maybe 400 to 500. But like, you had a pre-show meet and greet where you just kind of gathered around ringside and people walked around, and then it was the show that was going on at the same time that they were doing Impact live in Orlando. So what we had in Belton was the leftovers that weren't needed at TV, basically. And we had like I'll be honest, I don't know who the ring announcer was, but it was some guy ring announcing. And
Penzer, was it?
No, it wasn't Penzer, wasn't Borash, wasn't Christy Hemme. It was he looks familiar. I know he works for TNA, I just don't know what his name is.
We had some of Cal down here when they came.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't her either.
I follow.
But they built the show around the Knockouts because they had basically the entire Knockouts division besides Tess Mocker and Gail Kim, who were at TV, and Madison Rain, I think, was at TV. The whole rest of the division was there, pretty much. And they brought them out periodically throughout the night to do promos because they were all competing to be Knockout of the Night. They actually main evented the show with it was a 4-on-3 Knockouts tag match with the three faces against the four heels. Velvet Sky got the pin, and apparently winning the match made you knock out of the night, so I don't know what exactly they were campaigning for throughout the night. If you just had to win the match, I mean, it didn't matter what we thought, I don't think.
So basically, you drove down to see an all knockouts house show, pretty much.
Basically, other than them, there was Doug Williams and Rob Terry was the opener. They did Kid Cash and Kazarian and a heel versus heel match where they stalled for about 10 minutes. Both took turns on the mic making fun of the crowd and then actually had a pretty good match. And Gunner and Garrett Bischoff were on the card. Crimson and Matt Morgan were on the card, which was Matt Morgan's second to last TNA appearance, apparently. And then, or mid-show, there was a, if you bought the VIP pass or whatever, you got to go backstage. And when I say backstage, I mean you went out a side door and outside the building and standing around. There was literally just a little side door. They lined you up and they sent you outside. And
wow.
You're just outside looking around. There's just cars going by. And first thing I saw was just Tara just kind of standing on the corner over there in her ring gear.
Damn. This must have been a very small, very small arena.
Yeah, it was actually, it's one of those buildings that they have like several parts. The big part was set up for like a rodeo or something with dirt. I don't know what was in there, but
wow.
They were in the, I don't know if it's the smallest part, but it was probably the next size down. It's one of those buildings where you look up from the ring and you're like, well, if somebody's going to jump off the top rope, they better not try to get too much air. They're going to touch the ceiling.
Wow.
And then post show, house shows, they always have somebody doing the in-ring pictures or whatever. For us, it was Velvet Sky, the knockout of the night.
Yeah.
I got my picture. Got my picture taken with her. Got a nice little brief conversation. And I'll be getting my pictures back eventually, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, from my four-day experience with TNA, got to say a big shout-out to Ian and Big Shane of Atlas Security. They're good guys. If you ever go to a TNA house show that they're working, go out of your way to say hi to those guys.
Yeah, Big Shane's a good guy.
Atlas Security, they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't mess with them when they're around knockouts.
Actually, Big Shane took my picture with Angelina Love outside on the street corner there. I mean, backstage. I'm sorry, backstage. Street corner, backstage, whatever.
Very nice.
It kind of reminds me of when I went to go see WrestleMania back in Atlanta last year, and I went to Access, and they had like the Atlas security guys, you know, kind of walking around, you know, making sure everything was okay. And they had hung from the ceiling like two or three of the big WrestleMania signs. And what I was hoping to do was to get someone taking a picture of me pointing to it like Randy Orton. And I see one of the security guys said, "Hey, would you mind taking a picture?" She goes, "I can't do that, man. They won't let us." I'm like, "Really?" He says, I said, "Yeah, you know, if we take our eyes off of you, then someone might do something crazy." She said, "Trust me, I would if I could."
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting times indeed, it seems like you have there. And I noticed you put on our NAWC group over the course of time some nice pictures from, you know, from the events that were, if you will. So. Good stuff, Typhoon.
Yeah, my favorite picture in there I got with one with Christy Hemme and SoCal Val. That was at the pay-per-view pre-show at Hooters down the street from the building. There was only about 20 people there, and so.
The Joe, do you know legitimate themselves. Women's wrestling? You think Hooters?
Right.
Were they also serving on the side for tip money?
No direct auto insurances in Texas.
There was one near Belton, I think, because I think Rob Terry and Velvet Sky did some signing there during the day. But I honestly don't know. I don't think there's any direct insurance places in my area anywhere near. It's not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, when they were down here, that was they sent Jeff Hardy and Mickey James to do the signing at our direct auto.
All right.
Very cool stuff, bro. One question I do have for you. Did they have somebody taking the pictures, or did they make you take your own picture with your own camera or phone, whatever?
The in-ring one?
Yes.
They had their photographer doing it. Like,
okay.
You would, they lined you up when it was your turn. You got in the ring. They put you in place. They gave you the countdown or whatever. When you left, you stepped out the other side of the ring, and they had somebody there already had, like, one printed out, like a little one, and then they give you a little form that tells you if you, like, if you want to order, like, a digital copy, or if you want to order, like, some hard copies of it, it tells you how.
Yeah, when they were down here a few months ago, they didn't have a photographer. They made us take it with our own stuff, cheap. That's yeah, why I asked you that.
The house show I went to, I did forget my camera, and all I had was my phone, which takes horrible pictures. That's why I ended up outside of the in-ring picture, which they took for me. Mm. I think I took like two pictures with my phone. My phone takes crappy pictures. If you saw the picture, my picture with Angelina Love, you can see it's semi-blurry.
I was too busy looking at other things in that picture.
Yeah, one more thing about that, and we'll go on to something else. I still cannot believe how skinny that girl is in real life.
Yeah, she needs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, someone else who is really skinny in real life, and I mean this sincerely, is Daisy Hayes. Have you seen her lately?
Mm-mm.
She is scary skinny.
She looks like she's gonna break in half.
She got broken in half. No, sorry. Alrighty, fun stuff.
Meanwhile, Angelina Love look overweight.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we wake up our North Jersey correspondent for a certain somebody.
Yes, sir.
Scott Steiner may have to shut the tweet up. Does he not, VRM?
Oh, and I'm going to need Jason's help on this one also. After his Slammiversary outburst and a few outbursts over the course of the week, Hogan, Bischoff, Pritchard, and TNA have decided that enough is enough, and they are taking the legal action. They have filed a, I believe, defamation and breach of contract suits.
Well, let me actually pull up the actual thing from PW Insider, because you have it from PW Mania. I actually just want to pull the actual thing that they have, because it's very interesting, some of the documents that they have.
Yes, welcome to our legal correspondent, Jason Block. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. We actually have two TNA legal things to talk about. The first one is this. Yeah. They filed an injunction this week. Come on. I'm trying to get the complete news here. So while we do that, start it up, VRM.
I don't have the page in front of me either.
All right. Well,
failure. But so TNA decided enough's enough. They have filed complaints in the Chancery Court, is that how you say it?
Chancery Court, yes.
Yeah, Chancery Court in Nashville, an injunction against Steiner's quote-unquote disparaging remarks. They also claim a breach of contract that Steiner signed in December 2010 that specifically says that he is, quote-unquote, forbidden from making public statements, including messages online concerning TNA or any of its employees without prior approval. The suit goes on to state, in blatant disregard of the party's agreement, Steiner has engaged in a concerted effort to disparage TNA, its wrestlers, and other talent, and cast them in a negative light. Okay, first of all, stop right there. I didn't know Garrett Bischoff counted as a wrestler.
Well, I have the PW Insider story, so let me go on from there a little bit. That he signed the contract December 23rd, 2010. Okay, and believe it or not, this is very interesting. How much do you think he got paid for actually showing up at TNA versus a pay-per-view? Try this. Well, do we have any guesses?
Can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
So how much you got paid per TV appearance?
Yes.
$2,500.
You're actually about right. That's what he would got for a pay-per-view.
$2,000.
Plus the royalties to be paid 90 days later, and $2,000 for actually any TNA taping. So he would make about $6,000 for a month's taping, you know, or something like that, which is not much for a guy like Steiner, for example. Okay. A guy
who's supposedly in it for the money.
Right. An agreement that Steiner would not make any statements or provide any information, written or verbal or otherwise, as you said, which directly, indirectly disparages or casts in a negative light any TNA officers, employees, representatives, affiliates, shareholders, licensees, and or past or current TNA talent. An agreement that Steiner would not use online social media or media appearances to discuss TNA without the TNA's prior written consent. Okay? And this is the contract that he signed, by the way. And they're saying that he violated the terms of said contract. They're trying to recover the damages and a court and attorney's fees. They're claiming that the breaches caused the company irreparable harm, which cannot be adequately measured by monetary relief. And they're seeking a temporary or permanent injunction from the court to prevent Steiner from continuing to speak out against them. Now, if the contract, first of all, let's play this out from a legal perspective, okay?
Okay.
Now, if there is a signed contract which has what is known as I've described you before, a moral turpitude clause, which basically states that you can't do anything that would be disparaging to yourself or to the team. Now, again, VRM and Jim and Carl would know this, that a lot of athletes have these in. For example, you remember there was a Chicago Bull that had broke his foot with a motorcycle accident many years ago?
Rodman? No, not Rodman.
No.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, though, yeah.
You remember, and he got, they took back the money because that was against his contract. Yeah. Kellen Winslow Jr. is another one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was more recent.
Okay, something to that effect. So if the language is stated like this in the exact legal verbiage, TNA has a case, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no matter how right TNA is, how right Steiner is, legally, if Steiner signed the contract in that correct manner that it is legally, TNA has grounds to file this and to make sure Steiner does shut the tweet up. You know? Mm-hmm. Because this is breach of contract. Letter of the law, prima facie case. Prima facie being, you know, straight up. You know? But, yeah. So, we may have the end of a segment here.
We may have the end of a segment, but we may have the start of someone jumping back because, in light of the lawsuit, Steiner has been has just been added to the WWE roster alumni page.
Oh, really?
Interessante.
Interesting. I would put it to you this way: Vince wouldn't be adverse to paying him a little bit of a check.
Pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get
that. I saw somebody say they need to give Scott Steiner a late night talk show on the WWE Network.
Bring back Tuesday night
Steiner. Jeez.
Yeah, there's the link. There's the link.
And yes, and by the way, that's a pretty recent picture of his.
Mm-hmm.
Except the tattoo is missing. I'm thinking he's got that heart tattoo now on his chest.
By the way, am I the only one who thought that Roddy Piper looked drunk?
Oh, Piper's looked that way for, what, 25 years?
All right, so is this whole thing now, if now that he's on the alumni page, not only is it a chance to get him back onto TV, but is this also a way to give him legal support against TNA? Even if he doesn't have a leg to stand on if he signed this contract, is that a way to get him legal support there from Mr. McDivitt?
Hey, money's money, and lawyers are lawyers, and very good ones are there, and McDevitt's one of the best, so you never know.
And I think he left them on good terms, I believe, last time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this segment, not me completely, dude. We'll find some way to work in with Twitters and wrestlers and all. Nikki will come up with something.
She's good at that or something.
As long as it's not ponies, yes.
Because as Jim Williams likes to say, she is Tay Roxors.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
May I have your attention, please?
Oh, yay. What is it this week?
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager.
Wait for it.
On my Atari Falcon 030 micro box.
What?
Say that five times fast.
What?
Jesus Christ.
It's a floppy drive.
Wow. Yes, it
is. Is that a USB port or am I hallucinating at the on the front? No, it's not.
I see a modem.
They're tagged.
What year was this?
This was...
It says something on the jet. Early 90s. This entry here. Wow.
1993.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Five and a half floppy disks. We're pretty much dead at that point anyway.
We're moving into the world of MIDI, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's a 3.5. That's got a 3.5.
Once it unpixelates, go ahead and read the email.
Yes. All right, and I quote, oh, God. Who is this idiot running the show tonight? Wait a minute!
Don't say that.
How dare you, sir?
How you resemble dare that you, remark. Sir?
Wait a minute.
Scott Steiner might not be the only legal news you and Jason have to cover in terms of TNA. There's also another former employee who's been having issues of her own. Save that for the second half, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, Jimmy Fallon is still not funny.
Oh my God, you don't know what you're talking about. He's so hot. Oh my God.
So, in get your act
story,
together.
The sun rose this morning.
Yes.
And it finishes up with get your acts together, or we will have Rainbow Dash host the rest of the show. Oh God.
Don't wait.
So, we're going to pick up. Dust ourselves off, and we'll come back with the second half of the North America Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net in a few minutes. This is the CLW3 Network. Tune in. We'll be back.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. No, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
You know you're looking at a winner, winner, winner. 'Cause I'm a winner, yeah, I'm a winner.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Roll the tape on this.
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Carl? Anyway.
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah. And I believe Carl has somebody for us. Who do you got, Carl? Got nothing, just like always. Okay.
You prick.
What's actually going to be a very boring show this week? But wait.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
I feel so much better now.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Nikki Heyman, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
What's actually going to be a very boring show this week? But wait!
And we are back. You are tuned into the North American Wrestling Connection, as presented by WrestleChat.net, on CLW3.com, and, of course, the CLW3 Network. I'm Carl Schneer, once again, in for Nikki Heyman this week. We got Jim Williams back, of course.
Hi.
Typho.
Hello.
And Brian Henniger.
Yo, yo.
And our legal correspondent, Jason Block.
Yes, yes.
And Trista went offline. I'm not sure if she had an internet problem or something. If she comes back, we'll get her back in for the show, of course.
Definitely. She's awesome.
Our legal discussions now continue with something else to having to do with TNA. Do we not, Jason?
Yes, we do. As we know, there was a wrestler who worked for TNA called Daphne. Her real last name is Spruly, or Spruel, I believe her name is. And what happens is... That's okay. What happened was is that she suffered injuries at the Bound for Glory 2009 pay-per-view, which exceeded $26,000. She alleges that TNA paid a $600 payment on the bill. Oh, and by the way, there was no sexual harassment charges, contrary to all the rumors that have been going around. Okay. No sexual harassment charges. Okay? So here's what happened. She got a lot of medical bills, and she, which was over $26,000, and TNA paid her $600. When she received a letter, she alleged that Terry Taylor said, "Yeah, don't worry about it. TNA is going to pay for it," and TNA didn't, and there were more demands for the payment. And they also claimed that one letter stated that TNA declined because she was an independent contractor. Remember that statement before? The lawsuit also alleges that TNA's Texas attorney, which is the parent company is from, had advised the company to delay the payment in an attempt to eventually settle the debt for a smaller amount. I'll explain about that in a minute. They claim her side claimed proofs of this via emails forwarded to her from Terry Taylor. As a result of this, the Texas TNA is already negotiating a smaller payment, and there's a deposition for it scheduled for July 5th. The attorney attempted to fight this as she was to represent the TNA in Tennessee, but the judge denied that. And they also, there's no attorney-client privilege either. And right now, that the lawsuit also alleges that TNA settled the claim for the amount of $8,000 before, not before Sproul had to deal with calling by creditors and receiving additional material demanding payment for a year. In their response, the statute of limitations had expired and they had not paid any of the bills, although there were records of the payments as well as another $9,556 payment for medical treatment to her. They withdrew that argument. Now, and there's a hearing for next Friday whether Dixie Carter may be deposed or not. Now, Brian.
Yes.
I need you for this one. Okay. You used to work for a debt collector. Okay.
I did.
Now, did you also work in the medical debt department?
I did not. My my debt collection was strictly involving student loans.
Okay, but you know that what happens, this is a very simple case, technically speaking.
Yes.
Daphne suffered injuries that were more than $26,000.
Right.
TNA only paid a certain amount, and she claims that TNA said that they were going to pay for it, but they wanted to negotiate down for a lower amount, because that's what usually happens in a debt collection case, 9 times out of 10.
Yes. Usually what we would do is, and I do have experience with this, is that when we would get people up, the first thing we would ask for is the whole amount, just the whole amount straight up. Well, they obviously can't afford to pay that. So then we look at their incomes. We can make different settlement amounts that the Department of Education would have accepted, and we sort of go on from there. It's the same thing with debt collection. The companies want to get something. But it all is a – it really is a boondoggle.
Well, right now I think what I think is going to happen is that I – because remember, you've got two aspects here of the case. One, TNA wanting to – claiming that they were going to pay the medical bills, which were in excess, and which they did. However – her credit reputation is, was screwed up, because if you are on a medical debt plan, right?
Right.
And you have an outstanding medical debt, that's on your permanent credit file. And if I believe the number is 7 years, you might know that. 7 years it stays on? Do you know?
Yes, it stays on your credit report for 7 years.
So this is going to take a while. So I think there's going to be some settlement monetarily, and hopefully a comment to the credit report, the credit bureau. That's what I would think.
Yes. Now, I do know that when you I do know that when we were doing settlements and other things like that, we often would say that if you set up into a payment program, once you came out of the payment program and your debt was taken out of default, then it comes off your credit report. But in this case, it would stay on for 7 years.
Right. And they also – but here's a very interesting thing. She also, as I said, filed a motion to request that Dixie Carter be deposed. TNA argued that Carter doesn't have the knowledge or information on her injuries or the TNA contracts with Talon. Really? That's interesting. How could the head? I mean, isn't it surprising that the head of the company would not know that?
Considering how TNA is sometimes, that wouldn't surprise me. But
exactly.
Did,
She's busy helping people with drug rehab with AJ Styles. She doesn't have time to look at contracts.
Yeah, that was one of the ending points of last night's Impact.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Nice segue. Go ahead.
All right. Who here watched Impact besides me?
I did.
I got to say, that May event was very fun.
RVD, Jeff Hardy, always a good match.
This was a Bound for Glory series match for 7 points, of course, whoever got the pin. And for the first time, I think, in his career, I ever saw RVD try to hit a 450 splash, but he missed.
I mean, did he actually execute it?
If Jeff Hardy didn't move out the way, he would have hit it perfectly.
Okay.
And then took to a sick, of course, you know how he likes to go on top of the head for DDT shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, for the Twist of Fate, and then Jeff Hardy got the pin and 7 points.
By the way, did they do okay in the ratings?
0.97 is what the report was.
Which is about on par from last week.
Yeah, and remind me again what last week was. I forget.
I think it was a 0.98.
Hmm. I don't know if they lost viewers or not. Hmm. But I guess this concept is sort of what they're still wanting to do and still sort of working, I guess. Would you guys agree?
I kind of like what they're doing here, where they want to make it just a straight, My brain is being weird. They want to make it a straight round robin system where everyone faces everyone else at least once. So I kind of like that.
Right. Jim, what do you think?
I'm not really sure what to make of it, to be honest. I really don't know.
Typhal?
I kind of like the setup, and I think it's good to put that kind of build into your, well, what I guess is one of your two major pay-per-views. I mean, it's... what, June? There's still several months to go. So, I mean, it's more effort than WWE really puts into WrestleMania as far as building matches.
This is very true. Yeah, and this is why I've gotten pretty disappointed with WWE lately. In the course of trying to build up matches, they've been really missing with some of these. TNA's been spot on, especially with doing matches with Jeff and RVD. Looks like I'm boring Jason to death.
No, I'm sorry. I should have muted my tie. I apologize.
No, great. It's just that time of the day. That's
I'm
all.
Kidding. I'm
it's 12 midnight here. It's been a long day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other news and notes that we didn't cover besides CM Punk and Jimmy Fallon? Oh, God.
Oh, my God, Jimmy Fallon. Well, I mean, I know Jason wanted to champion this. The only bit of good press that John Cena is getting anytime soon is his 300th Make-A-Wish commitment fulfilled.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but supposedly the bad news is that what we've been hearing about for weeks is going to come true, which is the fact that the divorce is going to get oogly. And I mean oogly, because if you also remember in something in a Wrestlers Won't Shut the Tweet Up, which we may have covered last week, I believe it was Kenny Doan or Kenny Dykstra was claiming that John Cena was putting the five knuckle shuffle to Mickey James.
Yeah, it was Ken Doan who used to go by Kenny Dykstra.
And supposedly that wasn't the first one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. And reports coming out that he might do a whole shoot about it.
Who, Dykstra?
Yes.
Sounds like a guy who wants some money.
Yeah, because he's claimed that Cena's ruined his career and everything.
Like, sure,
yes. Whatever.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
I think there is one way to put it, and certain people know what the soundbite I'm fixing to play is.
Yes.
Particularly Jim. This is pretty much what John Cena is going through right now.
Everybody
Pretty much.
What is that?
Yeah. Oh, Hambone.
Hambone.
Cans dot wave. That's what happens when frustrations need to be taken out by a certain capitalist.
Former Blog Talk Radio host who now is gone.
May he rest comfortably.
So, yeah, John C. is fixing to be busy for a while now with this whole divorce thing, I feel.
But hey, he can't take any time off because he won a match. So
anyway. Yes, Jason?
No, just the one thing is that, if the divorce gets as ugly as we think it's going to, do you think he actually may have to take some time off? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm
surprised he hasn't taken time off yet.
Well, let's be honest. I can see it going either way. In the one respect, he might fully ensconce himself in work and entrench himself in work to get it off his mind. But he also may want to keep a lower profile, and obviously so, because, well, people are going to be gunning for him.
WWE's cash cow, as some people put it in the past.
They can't let him take any time off. If he takes time off, they might have to put the world title in the main event spot.
Jeez.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Yeah. Jason, but, I think, was going to go elsewhere with the...
I'm thinking that the person who is the cash cow is Mr. CM Punk, thank you very much, and Daniel Bryan.
Jimmy Fallon fangirls be damned.
Yes.
Oh my God, Jimmy Fallon,
you suck. Your show sucks, you suck. Get off our TVs already, will you?
But the Roots are awesome, so I have nothing against them.
Yeah, Roots are cool.
Roots are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Especially when they sing songs about Republicans.
I think that was all the news we had in terms of wrestling, I believe, huh, gentlemen?
Well, aside from a moment of silence in honor of the end of an era. The end. I get emotional. Of people power.
Yeah, that was long enough.
Okay. Right. Next week's GM is going to be one Vicky Guerrero.
Excuse me, Nick Foley was this week's.
Yes, this week was Teddy Long and Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see how Vicky does.
We're going to get a.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. So do you think we're going to get more of those legend segments too?
There was a report that they might do away with it. In terms of the in-ring wrestling portion, maybe they'll bring a few back for the talking segments, like we saw the train wreck on Monday.
I'm a one-man band.
I just thought that Heath Slay would be all the legend's personal bitch for all that. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, I will have an on-site wrestling report for you because I am actually going to the Ring of Honor show this coming Sunday. Best in the World pay-per-view. Which produced, in my opinion, the match of the year last year Eddie Edwards versus Davey Richards. Kevin, by the way, if you want a quick rundown of that card, if you don't mind?
Sure. What is Jason going to see in person?
Yeah, I will tell you that, actually. Let me just get to there. It's called Hostage Crisis, I believe. It's ROH Hostage Crisis. Best in the World. Here we go. It's Anything Goes, The Pile Driver is Legal, Kevin Steen versus Davey Richards. Davey Richards gets his only shot. Tag Team Champions, the World's Greatest Tag Team, and Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin defend versus the All Night Express, Rhett Titus and Kenny King. That will be an awesome match no matter what happens there. You've got a special challenge match, Fit Finlay versus Unbreakable Michael Elgin with Truth Martini. Three-way elimination match for the ROH TV Championship, Roderick Strong defending against Jay Lethal and the Sicilian Psychopath Tommaso Ciampa. Then we have Eddie Edwards versus Homicide, which is good. Okay. Now, Typho, you'll like that one, right?
Yes, definitely.
And that'll be on internet pay-per-view. A grudge match, the Briscoe Brothers versus the Guardians of Truth. Which, and then the hybrid fighting rules, Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay, what are the hybrid fighting rules? I've not heard of this.
You can have a decisions, a foul, or something like that.
So basically it's Jim Cornette trying desperately to have his own MMA promotion.
Kind of. Live Prodigy service announcement with the Prodigy, Mike Bennett, and Maria Kanellis. Mew.
Love that. Okay. Sorry.
And Steve Corino has petitioned Ring of Honor officials to let him color commentate on the world title match with Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness. So I'm going there Sunday, and I cannot wait.
And it's going to be where again, Jason?
I'm sorry?
Would you do me one small favor?
Yes?
If you see Jim Cornette, tell him I said hey.
I will. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I will, but you never know. Yeah. But Ring of Honor, I've always loved the Ring of Honor shows. They are fun as hell, especially at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Oh, that's where it's going to be. That was my question.
Yeah, nice. Hammerstein Ballroom, New York City. Yes. And you know what? I believe there's a lot of walk-up stuff. I mean, I got in there for $10 last year. And I think I may be able to do that again. So, no worries
about
it.
I'll tell you what, if I ever make it up to New York City, that is one place I will definitely go visit.
Yeah, you got to. It's
just for the history.
There is. I've seen so many very good matches there, and hence, you know, for a new show might happen. Anyway,
yes, damn you, Sinclair. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Alrighty, very good, Jason. Now let's just to plug away.
Hey, Carl, I got something to plug.
You do.
I do.
Is it CLW3 related?
Part of it is.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I want to plug me and Jason's, our excellent show, in my humble opinion, Pixel Nation, which you'll be hearing on Saturdays. Fastest hour of video game news anywhere in the planet with the greatest co-host.
It'll be Saturday this week, yes, because of delays.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason is always a phenomenal talent. We actually had our own stat boy, Josh Henniger, as a guest this week, along with our friend Ivy, so that's going to be a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And Statboy mentioned this, and I would like to mention it as well. There's a big video game charity marathon, which is going to be happening this weekend and all throughout the week. By the time you hear this, it'll already be raging. It's called the Mario Marathon 5, and it's to raise money for Child's Play Charities, the guys from Penny Arcade. It's to put video games and toys and other stuff in children's hospitals so they can have something to get their minds off of their problems. It's a phenomenal organization. Last year, they raised over $100,000. They're hoping to better it by at least a dollar this year. If you can chip in a little money, it'd be great. They're going to try to play all the Super Mario Brothers video games that have ever been released over the course of this week. It's going to be phenomenal. So check it out. It's at MarioMarathon.com. Phenomenal stuff.
I believe Josh mentioned that the more they raise, the more they got to play.
Yes.
Right, and I'm looking at their website right now. They have $31,473.93, and they've only been playing for 13 hours.
Yeah, they had a good bit of money before they even started, and Josh talked about that on this week's edition of the BS Big Show. Very good, Brian. We go to Jason with his CLW3 plug.
I will plug all the shows that I am on with Mr. Jim Williams. Touch 'em all occasionally. Yes. BS Big Show. It was off for a couple weeks. Maybe back, may not be.
Yeah, you'll be called upon for BS in 2 weeks.
Okay. NAWC, of course, national this show, and of course, Red State, Blue State. I actually want to plug something, and I'm also going to talk about it on Red State, Blue State. Anybody see that video of that woman who got bullied on the school bus?
Yes.
Okay. It broke my heart, and there is actually, I believe it's called Give to Helen. What is it? Give to Helen, I believe the Kickstarter is. If you Google that, and you know what? I really think that it would be very wonderful if they actually broke the $1 million mark on this just for shiggles. I know, Ethan, your roommate Tim is not exactly thrilled about this, but you know, there you go. That's mine.
All right, Mr. Typho.
Of course, Tuesday Night Typho, which, believe it or not, coming up in the first week of July, we'll be celebrating 4 years on the air somehow.
Nice.
I don't know who let that happen, but 4 year anniversary is coming up. Yep, we're there every Tuesday night doing our thing.
Can you get Lacey Von Erich to give you a big happy anniversary?
I could end the show and die happily at that point, and that'd be the perfect conclusion.
And Jimmy Hart to be like, yeah. We don't have big news, brother. We're bringing back WrestleLicious just for you, Typho.
I'm thinking 4 year anniversary. Get Jimmy Hart and all the WrestleLicious girls on to do a live performance of the theme song.
Oh, gee.
Get Tony the Top and Shauna Na and Why do I suddenly feel so dirty?
Because you're a geek at heart, like most of us here.
You can help Daphne get some more money too, and get a Draculetta on there.
There you go. Oh,
jeez. Jimbo.
Of course, the website of the broadcaster who could definitely use some work, JimWilliamsOnTheAir.com. Check it out. Hear me yell like a banshee in the night over a buzzer beater. It's very exciting. And check that out. I'm also available at Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. If you ever need an on-hold voice message or a voiceover for a promo for reasonably cheap, I'd like to think, Fiverr.com. I think it's Fiverr.com/Jim Williams. Let me check that right quick.
Fiverr, you said?
Yes, add the second R for Jim Williams. That's right. It's, okay. Yes, Fiverr.com/Jim Williams.
I got like a parking page on my end.
Fiverr with a second R.com/Jim Williams. Moving on.
Oh, okay. I was putting in the wrong damn page. Okay.
You fool.
Shut up. I'm going to plug something interesting. The only time I will ever watch a NASCAR race in full if it's a road course.
Woo!
That is this weekend, apparently. I forget. I don't know how the hell you say the name, Jim. Help me out here.
Sonoma,
yes.
Okay.
Looking at only TV is recorded on Speed Channel. They're qualifying right now.
It was either Sonoma or Watkins Glen. I wasn't sure which one.
Or Infineon.
Infineon, yeah.
Yeah, that's happening this weekend on TNT.
That's right. Summer Series, baby. Woo!
As long as Darryl Waltrip is not defiling my television, I'm okay.
Oh, come on. DW's awesome.
D-dub.
Biggity. Let's go racing, boys.
I thought he was going to go with Derpy.
No.
No, I respect Jim too much to do that.
Then, plus I showed you pictures of Dan Le Batard in a thong, so there you
God.
Go.
God!
And please. That is why I respect you a lot.
Fucking hell.
Because I know that you know how to hurt me.
Yes, I do.
Sorry. Anyway, my other plug, I'm going to plug a BS Big Show we did. It was pretty fun. We broke in a new member, Tom Delgado. Fun stuff.
It was insane.
That's up now. Next week, Touch 'Em All. Yeah, Jim, we'll be covering that damn perfect game.
Another no-hitter. It's a perfect game, I believe.
And Nikki should be back, depending on if Uncle Paul decides to get cute with Triple H again.
Don't put it past the evil uncle.
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember this. So, yes, he challenged Mr. Lesnar to a fight at SummerSlam at the No Way Out pay-per-view, Mr. Lesnar's camp said no.
Right.
Hence the reaction, and hence why Nikki is not here. She's making sure that all the legal I's and T's are dotted, because, you know,
the Paul works. Can't because he got jaw jacked.
Right.
Pretty much.
We'll stay tuned next week for finding
it. Let it be a lesson to us all. Never mention the boobies. Never mention Stephanie.
No.
No.
In front of the evil Dr. Levescu, because it only means bad things.
It means you're fucked.
You're fucked six ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
In church and out.
Yes, right.
All right, I think it's time to put a close to this week's edition of the program.
Shove this show up your ugly ass.
That's right. Oh, Nikki's going to kill us.
Thanks to all of you gentlemen, and of course, Trista, for joining us earlier. For Jason Block, who helped us with the legal portions of the program, for Typho, Brian Henniger, Jim Williams, and Ethan for listening in the chat, and of course, VRM earlier, I'm stumbling, I'm crossing here, I'm going to sleep. Good night, see you next week. Bye-bye. For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.